Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
I am Hercules Invictus. Welcome to the Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I'm flying solo tonight. Athena might be joining us a little later on. Tonight, we have as guest Oscar Leon from the Aetherius Society, one of the wonderful individuals I've met on my quest through the cosmic spiritualities of our day and age. And tonight's topic will be harnessing the power of prayer. Greetings, Oscar. Thank you for joining us again.
Greetings, Hercules. Great to be back on your show.
Last time we were on together, we discussed a little bit about your spiritual journey and how after much wandering, adventuring, you found your spiritual home with the Aetherius Society, and you found your place with the Aetherius Society, just like I found my place on Mount Olympus. And once we found our homes, life takes on a whole new meaning and a different flavor. So I'm always happy when people find their spiritual home and are able to operate from there. So you're a fortunate individual,
right,
indeed.
Right. Absolutely.
Can you give our listeners an overview of what the Aetherius Society is all about in case they missed the last show?
Sure, absolutely. I'd first like to introduce the founder, George King, because I think that helps to put the Aetherius Society in context and will help people better understand why this organization came into being and why it does what it continues to do to this day. Dr. George King, as we refer to him, was an Englishman. He was born in 1919, and he was actually born into a family of mediums. His mother was a psychic medium, as was his grandmother, actually even more so than his mother. So even from a very early age on, and throughout a lot of his childhood and adolescent years, he was having experiences himself with psychic phenomena, subtle energy, even healing, the ability to give healing, which has happened many times in his early years. So it was something that, you know, throughout his early years, he was starting to delve into and study, you know, from a very experiential point of view. Eventually, as he got older, he joined or got together with other groups of people and started studying the occult sciences, you know, attending seances and different mediumistic circles and also doing some channeling himself. But it wasn't until after he came back from the war. He was in the fire brigade in World War II, and he was a conscientious objector, fought in the fire brigade. But when he came back, he felt a calling towards something deeper. He was very familiar with psychic phenomena, very familiar with life beyond what we can see with our own two eyes. and as well as the other realms, life beyond death, etc. But he felt a calling, a yearning to take it even deeper, and he turned his attention to the science and practice of yoga. Yoga in its deepest sense, not simply the stretches and the asanas that are part of hatha yoga, which he did do, but also
and back
the meditative.
Then they didn't know about yoga like they do now. Now everyone knows about yoga. Back when Dr. King was starting, it was still almost an occult science itself, yoga.
Exactly. And especially, you know, in the, this was like the late 1940s of England, you know, so it was very, very rare for somebody in his situation, his environment, to be practicing and to taking up yoga. Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, he went deep into it, you know, not just in the stretches and asanas, but the meditative practices, the breathing practices, the mantras, the kundalini yoga, and the harnessing of all the subtle energies. So he dedicated himself to that science and practice of yoga for hours every day, for many, many years. And it was at that point, near that latter, those latter years of this stint, shall we call it, of his yoga practice, when he was actually involved with a healing circle. He would get together with a group of friends, and they would incorporate some yoga practices to sensitize themselves, but then they would also incorporate mediumship to bring through information from the higher realms for the purpose of healing. To not only give healing to each other, but also to develop new ways and modalities of offering healing to other people, whether it's in person or over a distance. So this is the setting that George King was at up until in the early 50s. He was, you know, deep into yoga. You know, he was very interested in healing. That was his prime focus at the time, is administering healing to others. He was researching various forms of healing, alternative healing for cancer, and progressing quite a bit. And it was at that point, in 1954 to be exact, May of 1954, that he received what is famously known today as the command. This was his first contact that he knew of an extraterrestrial source. And it spoke to him, saying, prepare yourself, you are to become the voice of interplanetary parliament. And that was the...
earth-shattering.
It was. It was completely earth-shattering to him. And he was familiar with the way of communication, obviously, because, you know, he's very versed in mediumship and channeling and the other realms. But what blew... I guess what blew him away was the implications of the statement. He was not researching or delving into the whole topic of UFOs and extraterrestrials. He knew a little bit about it, but again, it wasn't his focus or real prime interest at all. But after some time of literally sitting with it, you know, going into meditation to try and really understand the implications of this, he was visited by a master of yoga from India who gave him some further instruction into the meaning, the implications of this command, and also gave him some instruction into certain specialized techniques for him to establish a mental rapport, a telepathic rapport, to be able to serve as a channel for these cosmic masters, what we refer to as cosmic masters from other worlds. And that was essentially the birth of the Aetherius Society, because these messages were coming through and they needed to be recorded. They were of such vital importance to the world as a whole, not just to any particular group, but to the world as a whole, that he felt they needed to be recorded and disseminated.
That's quite amazing for a modern individual to have. And it seems like everything that he did beforehand, including the family he was born into, was preparation for this one command that he received rather later in his life. So it's amazing how things work out that way if you're following a spiritual path.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Just looking back, you know, once you get to a certain point in your development, I'm sure you've seen this yourself in your life and others. When you take a break and look back, you can see how one thing kind of led to the next in preparing you for your mission, preparing you for, you know, your life's calling. And exactly, you know, taking a look back into George King's life, we're actually the directors of the Ethereum Society, a couple of them mainly, are in the process of writing a biography of Dr. George King. And in this process of researching, they're starting to put together all these pieces that really, like you said, are painting a picture of how he was basically being prepared from birth, even before that, you know, just the family he was born into and all the experiences he had throughout his life, which led to the command. And then from the command on is when his mission really became activated. Like I said, the initial purpose for founding the Aether Society was to record and disseminate these transmissions, what were referred to as cosmic transmissions, these channeled messages coming from masters beyond Earth, while he was in a state of induced somatic trance, where he would rise the power of Kundalini to a very high psychic center, enter into a state of trance, focus on a particular energy being from the master, and bring forth the message. These messages were recorded, they were disseminated throughout the world, but slowly the Aether Society began to take another step of involvement with the cosmic masters, in as much as helping them in their activity on Earth. It's our understanding that they are, so to speak, our older or elder brothers of our solar system, and helping us to grow and learn and evolve through various means, through teaching of certain wisdom, but also through the radiation of spiritual energies, of subtle energies, of higher frequencies. And the Ethereum Society went on to cooperate with them for that very same purpose of harnessing, of transmitting these energies that these cosmic masters were sending to Earth, and playing an active role in cooperating with them in the enlightenment of the human race.
So if somebody becomes a member of the Aetherius Society, after they've learned the basic wisdom so they have an understanding, what type of work do they do? Because I know it's dedicated toward the betterment of humanity in line with the cosmic masters. What exactly does that translate into?
Right. Like you just mentioned, I mean, the fundamental mission of the Aetherius Society is to assist in this overriding cosmic plan on Earth for the salvation and enlightenment of mankind, of all of humanity, of all life on Earth. And it's primarily through the cooperation with the cosmic masters, through various cosmic missions, which I'll touch upon briefly, but it's also through the study of the teachings, the spreading of the teachings, personal spiritual development, the raising of our own vibrations, using certain yogic techniques and ancient techniques to sensitize ourselves, to speed up our own evolution, to heighten our vibration and our consciousness, and to, you know, to be of service to others, to manipulate karma for the better. You know, we understand that the main hindrance to the evolution of the human race is our negative karmic pattern. You know, all the wars, all the hatred, all the violence that we have, gone through throughout our human civilization has reaped a karmic repercussion. A reaction, so to say. So as the law of karma states, as you sow, so shall you reap. We have we're reaping a lot of this negative karma that we have accrued over the centuries. And so one of the ways that we can combat, or better said, transmute the negative karma, is to be active in creating positive karma through selfless service, through prayer, through healing, through, you know, just living the basic tenets of any major religion, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Buddha, of Krishna, of Lao Tse, loving one another. You know, these basic, which are very ancient and yet future and cosmic moral principles, are in essence raising the thoughts and raising the vibrations of the human race, and playing an active role in the overall cosmic plan and cooperating with the cosmic masters. So anybody who comes to the Aetherius Society and starts to get involved, you know, whether it's as a friend or taking a step further as a member, you know, it's up to them how much they want to involve themselves with the missions and activities of the Aetherius Society. But, you know, there are various ways that we do offer for members to get involved through the practice of scientific prayer, you know, being able to radiate energy in a conscious, controlled manner, to be able to give healing on a personal as well as global basis through a practice such as the 12 Blessings, to participate in certain cosmic missions with the use of radionic equipment, such as Operation Prayer Power, which I think we'll touch into in a little bit. Again,
in the second half of the show, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where a member or non-member can come and serve as a channel, you know, to channel the energies, the heightened vibrations around them through the invocation of prayer and mantra into a radionic apparatus that we can then use to send out this prayer spiritual energy to the world. So there's various other means as well, you know, as a member progresses along this path to play a more active role in cooperating with these cosmic masters.
That's pretty awesome that there is that level of participation. For many groups, there's little participation beyond learning and absorbing and personally applying what is learned. It sounds like you guys have a phenomenal amount of things that people can do to help the world around them.
Absolutely. And that's our focus, you know, in which kind of differentiates us from many other spiritual and New Age organizations, which you kind of pointed out are much perhaps more about personal study, personal development. And it's not to say that that's not an aspect of our path in the Aetherius Society. Studying the teachings and personal spiritual development is very important, but it comes second to the active role of being of service to the world. And it's almost like, you know, you got to do it, but you do it on your own time, on your free time, because when push comes to shove, what really matters is the service you're putting out for the world today. And the practices, the studying of the teachings help to support the service that we give to others.
And you are currently involved full-time in the Aetherius Society. You've made that your life path and dedicated yourself totally to it. What type of threshold did you have to cross to get to that level of commitment?
Good karma.
Very good.
One thing kind of led to the next. I didn't foresee myself being this involved. You know, when I first decided to join the Aetherius Society, I certainly didn't see myself in this position so soon, so quick. I know I wanted to work more closer with the Aetherius Society, to be a regular volunteer, to, you know, participate in as many of the services and missions that were offered to me, that were open to me. I knew that it would help if I moved closer to the center in Hollywood. So that was my next step. You know, I took everything one step at a time. First step was to move from Santa Cruz to Hollywood and start a new life down in Hollywood. And so I got my degree up in Santa Cruz, moved down here, got a job, and started volunteering regularly. I made myself useful and available as much as possible. They eventually offered me a full-time position here. I suppose it was pretty versatile and was of use in various different ways. And more than anything, this is what I wanted to dedicate my life to, you know, just to really helping out the human race and the Mother Earth, which is at the focal point of the Aetherius Society. It's fundamentally why the Aetherius Society is in existence, is really because of the Mother Earth. It's assisting in her ascension and her rise into a new body that she will soon take on. And we're just trying to help catch up as much of the human race as possible in order to withstand these new changes. So my heart and soul was into the Aetherius Society. My heart and soul was into the work and you know, I had no other commitments as far as family or no wife or kids. And yeah, God knows what kind of karma, good karma I did in previous lives to, you know, to line up my cards in this life. But yeah, I'm just very blessed and happy that I'm here and doing what I'm doing.
And I'm happy that you found that as well. A lot of people have a difficult time conceptualizing the masters or the elder brothers or the ascended, as they're called in different systems. Can you give a little bit of insight into the ascended ones, the cosmic masters, and how they work with individuals and with the planet to bring about this change? And is there a difference between an evolved person who was born on this planet and one that came from another planet?
Yes. Yes to all that. Let's start with ascended masters. It's our understanding, and many other lines of thinking, philosophy share this understanding, that this earth is a classroom, fundamentally.
Yes.
It offers a certain set of experiences for the human psyche, for the human soul, our consciousness, and we go through various types of experience in order to learn certain lessons, to grow and spiritually evolve. We don't learn all the lessons in one life, so we pass on. We go to a different realm, still here on Earth, to learn other lessons, a realm that we vibrate closest with. And then when the time is right, we choose the conditions into which we reincarnate into. And we choose this in accordance and, I should say, in cooperation with our higher self, of course, receiving guidance from higher beings. We reincarnate. We go through another set of experiences, a set of lessons to try and learn more. We don't learn all our lessons in that life, even though we are presented with the opportunity to learn all the lessons. We pass on. And this cycle goes on, the cycle of reincarnation goes on, until we learn our lessons, we spiritually evolve, we graduate from this classroom called Earth, and it's that process or that state of graduation that is metaphysically termed as ascension. We ascend from this cycle of reincarnation, we ascend from this physical matter of existence into a higher body, into a higher consciousness, a higher state of being. And as an ascended master, you are given two choices. You can either continue your evolution by going to a higher classroom, a higher university, which resides on another planet within the solar system, or you can choose to remain on this earth, in this classroom, to help guide and teach and enlighten all the rest of your brothers and sisters who have yet to reach that stage of ascension. In Buddhism, those beings are referred to as bodhisattvas. In other various occult metaphysical circles, these are referred to the masters of the Great White Brotherhood, the spiritual hierarchy of Earth. So these are the masters, ascended masters, who have learned, graduated from Earth, but have chosen to remain to help guide and assist those who are still going through their process of evolution. And they do so by various means, either through indirect guidance and teaching, sometimes through the mediumship. You know, there have been various mediums for masters of the spiritual hierarchy, ascended masters. Blavatsky was one, for example, as was George King. They also assist humanity by the radiation of prayer and spiritual energy. You know, they do a lot of scenes behind the a lot of work, behind the scenes. They reside primarily in retreats in various mountains, mainly, but also other locations throughout the earth, working in the background, assisting humanity. So
that was so well. That I'm going to actually include this show as one of our prequel shows for Pride of Olympus, which is our spin-off show. That was very well said, Oscar. That is excellent an explanation as I've ever heard.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, you know, these are our great guides and teachers, masters who are guiding this human race. And that's to sum up the concept of the Ascended Master and their role here on Earth. And they consist of male, female, colored, white, Asian, of all races. But within the organization of the Great White Brotherhood, they also receive assistance from their elders, which we refer to as the Cosmic Masters. And these are beings who did not have, in a cycle of reincarnation here on Earth. They reside, or they come from another planet within a solar system, a more evolved realm of being, a higher vibratory realm. And these are what referred to as avatars sometimes in Vedic terminology, or in also other metaphysical terminology. Avatar, a Sanskrit word meaning one who descends, descending from a higher sphere, in this case a higher planet. And these are examples of these avatars throughout history: the Master Jesus, Lord Buddha, Sri Krishna, Lao Tse, Confucius. These were avatars, these were cosmic masters who came to Earth, who in certain cases, started out as a baby, being born through the womb of a woman, oftentimes in miraculous circumstances, like the virgin birth of Jesus, and, lived a life as a human, but they came with a very specific mission, a very specific purpose. And sometimes that mission was very public, sometimes it's very private and done, almost in secrecy. But they all come for the same purpose, to help guide and uplift the human race, either to introduce a new set of teachings or to help manipulate a certain karmic pattern of the human race, to radiate certain energies, to cooperate with the Ascended Masters in the Great White Brotherhood, again, in their mission of helping to enlighten the human race. So those are some of the general differences between your cosmic masters who have come to this Earth and guiding this Earth, and then the Ascended Masters who are from the Earth but have graduated and yet have chosen to remain behind to help guide the rest of us.
Thank you. That was a wonderful explanation and very understandable. We're going to be going to our mid-show point in a couple of minutes. It's been my observation, because I've studied the path of ascension during this entire lifetime, and I suspect many lifetimes previously. In ancient Greece, it was called apotheosis, which meant the process of becoming divine. And it was represented as an ascent, to the firmaments, the stars above, and there were different levels of ascended beings. There were the ascended beings that we've come to know as heroes, and they were kind of like what saints are now, except with a totally different approach toward life. Then there were the mystis. They were the ones that looked after and into the mysteries, and they were transformed that way. They would be very close to what the Ascended Masters are thought of today. And then the third group of people were people who were good, who had lived several good lifetimes and had earned a higher place for a while in the afterlife. And then they would, of course, reincarnate and so forth. But this process that you described so well, a lot of people equate it with the New Age, but it's actually phenomenally ancient. It's found in the most ancient of teachings.
Absolutely, absolutely. It goes back to the times of Atlantis, before Atlantis and Lemuria, even to when we first came to Earth. There was guidance. There was always a structure of guidance for the human race and for those evolving and learning the lessons offered to the Earth. Absolutely.
To those who embrace this way of looking at things, it's a phenomenal comfort, because you're never alone, and everything, no matter how horrendous it seems, is for a developmental reason that is designed to help you grow.
Correct.
We're going to go to mid-song break now, and we're going to play Dom the Bard Lunasa for those of you who celebrate. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you very much, Oscar. I look forward to continuing our conversation.
Likewise, Hercules.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, we are back. Yes, we. I'm here with Athena Victory and Xena Warrior Princess, our hound. Greetings, I'm Hercules.
Hound is a stretch.
She's a fierce chihuahua. She means business. Tonight, we are speaking with Oscar Leon from the Aetherius Society, who just gave the most succinct and clear explanation of the ascension process that I've ever heard. And our topic is harnessing the power of prayer, which we're going to get to in this half of the show. Welcome back, Oscar.
Thanks, Hercules. And hi, Athena.
Hi, Oscar.
And Xena is saying not a word. She's just looking very fierce.
And wagging her tail.
Back to our topic. Okay, you had mentioned before in the first half of the show about the power of prayer and that the Aetherius Society had devices where the energy from prayer can be stored and tapped to at a later time. That is something of great interest to a great many people, so I'd like to focus on that a bit more. Can you explain it a little bit?
Absolutely, and feel free to just ask more questions, because this, the topic of prayer and radionics is pretty far developed in the Aetherius Society and forms a very important part of the missions that we do. Just briefly to explain what we mean when we say prayer, all forms of thinking, speaking, acting, even emotion generates an energy, generates a certain frequency. And when we think a thought, when we feel a certain emotion, this energy gets released from our being, in our aura, in our psychic centers, and sometimes it's projected outwards to others, bits of bouts of anger, frustration, even feelings of love and compassion. We generate an energy and tend to directed towards a particular person, so to speak. So everything is energy, and prayer is the scientific means of consciously directing spiritual energy to another point, whether it's a person, a group of people, a country, the whole human race, to the Mother Earth, or even to the cosmos and beyond. So it's a methodical, scientific way where you can invoke a particular frequency through the use of certain words, perhaps, to invoke certain higher powers, and then a supplication of request to have these energies, these spiritual energies of love and white light to be sent or directed for a particular purpose. It can also be done for personal reasons, to ask for personal help, personal guidance, personal healing. But in the Aetherius Society, our focus is in sending it outwards in service to others. We use prayer in many of our services prayers that were taught to us by not only our founder George King, but also prayers that were channeled through him by other cosmic masters, including the Master Jesus. And we use these formulas, I sometimes like to think of them as incantations or white magician spells, to generate this energy and especially in our higher psychic centers, and be able to channel it to the object of our prayer. So George King, right from the get-go, from the early years of the Aetherius Society, you know, he was very, as you know, versed in the subtle the sciences of subtle energies, you know, already from his early childhood. He was very interested in healing and using this knowledge for good, for helping others. After learning more about some of the prayers from the cosmic masters, he would use those to send out the energy in an even a higher form, you know, and an even pure white magic ritual of sending out this energy. But then it came to be where, okay, you know, we've got technique for sending out a prayer energy from one person to, you know, the object of his or her prayer, but how can we potentize that? How can we take it up to a higher level? How can we use this in cooperation with the cosmic masters and on the global level? And it was through mainly his inventions. He had a little bit of assistance and guidance from his master, Aetherius, and other ascended masters in the Great White Brotherhood. But it was mainly his inventions of what is termed radionics, which is a science of the manipulation and radiation of subtle energies, where he invented and devised and had built here in the Aetherius Society physical apparatuses, physical machines consisting of precious metals, of ground crystal, and certain design that would serve this very purpose, the purpose of being able to harness the prayer energy, so that perhaps we can store hours and hours and hours of this prayer energy to be able to then release it in a fraction of the time when an emergency occurred somewhere on Earth. So one of the first machines that started to become used very frequently was the spiritual energy radiator, what he called the spiritual energy radiator, which could tune in to the energies coming from the cosmic masters, which were being sent to Earth, and it could focus these, concentrate these, and send them out to the world as a whole. He then invented another piece of apparatus called the prayer battery, which I was kind of brief of describing, an apparatus where you could pray into, you know, through prayer and mantra, and store this subtle spiritual energy in the crystals and in the materials contained in the battory, and, you know, store it for however long until the need arises to release hundreds of hours of energy for a world situation, whether it's for a catastrophe, an earthquake, a pending hurricane, or if it's political turmoil, you know, any type of massive unrest in the world that is in desperate need of this energy. Through the use of these machines, were able to act quickly. And that's primarily what he wanted to do, be able to, you know, come together, act quickly to release hundreds of hours of energy in almost a very small fraction of the time that it took to charge it in the first place.
Are these devices available? Because I know that some people work with crystals and charge crystals. You could charge a lot of different things with energy that you could later tap into. And astral work, I know that you can create devices that you can feed energy, including prayer energy. Wilhelm Reich had made an orgone box or an orgone accumulator where he stored a lot of life energy. Are these devices available, and how can somebody experiment with using one?
Right. Yes. There have been a lot of other people starting to develop this science of radionics. You mentioned that orgone device, and there are other devices out there. Tesla was very much involved in the science of radionics and was tapping into some great, great potentials. But fortunately, you know, a lot of his work was shut down and retracted. But, you know, Dr. King, you know, when he first started developing the science and developing the apparatuses in the 1950s, he kept it strictly confidential and very restricted to within the higher ranks of the Aetherius Society. And that was mainly because of the potential, the power, the potency of these machines. And he knew if gotten into the wrong hands, it could be used for the opposite end of the spectrum, for negative magic, for black magic. And so that's why, you know, a lot of the, I would say all the people who worked on these machines, helping him build them, you know, took strict oaths of secrecy. You know, none of the materials were fully disclosed, nor the designs fully disclosed, except to, you know, a relatively handful. To this day, it still pretty much continues in the same way. You know, he didn't want this to be publicly available. He wanted it to be available, or I should say, he wanted anybody to have the opportunity to play a role in playing a role in their missions that use these machines, which we still do to this day, like in Operation Prayer Power. But it was never meant for personal use, these major big machines. If people want to experience it for themselves, you know, we have five centers around the world that use the prayer battery every week. You know, we set it up and it's open to the public. And this is where we invoke the energy through mantra and prayer and store it into the battery. You know, they can come in and witness that. But as far as for personal use, for home use, it's not something that he focused on or turned his attention to. Not to say, I mean, because I honestly believe that, you know, we are embarking a state in our evolution where the science of radionics will be a household feature, you know, getting off the grid, so to speak, and using the technologies available to harness the subtle energies. But as far as the machines that we work with, they are pretty strictly classified for, you know, the reasons I just mentioned.
And that is understandable, because if there is a way to abuse technology, humanity is...
And it has been, you know, there's been use of the psychic forces and psychic powers and radionic technology in various wars, you know, and certainly in World War II and some of the conflicts that came after that, you know, with some of the behind the scene underground powers that be, were trying to use some of these technologies, but for war purposes, for controlling purposes, for power purposes, selfish purposes. So it's because of the current state of our world, it unfortunately, you know, these things need to be dealt with very carefully and very strictly.
Indeed. And what is next for Oscar Leon and for the Aetherius Society? What new and exciting is coming up soon?
The big picture? We're continuing to perform the cosmic missions using the radionic devices in cooperation with the cosmic masters to help flood the world with higher spiritual vibrations, to help give energy back to the Mother Earth herself, to further help in this cosmic plan. It's also our mission to continue spreading the teachings even further, you know, throughout the world, and continue to grow as a community, as a brotherhood, as an organization, to create a stronger center of light, but also to cooperate, and I believe this is essential, to cooperate with other spiritual groups. You know, the forces of darkness, the forces, the black magic forces, shall we say, are very organized, They cooperate, you know, very well. But it's the forces of light that are now being called to put down their barriers of differences and come together to cooperate in service and spiritual service and healing and prayer and in whatever means it takes. Even just the simple act of coming together and having dialogue, I think is an essential role in this enlightenment. This new age that is dawning upon our world is the unification of all the different spiritual groups and spiritual forces coming together to cooperate for the common good. So that's where we're at, and that's where we're trying to head for in the future. That's our future, our vision of the future. And for me personally, just playing my role, trying to be a part of that as best I can in the limited years that I have left in this body, and I hope to continue with this mission on the other realms, and when I reincarnate into another body, just being of greater and greater service.
That's an awesome big picture. It's, I guess, the biggest picture we can get. and I'm all for dialogue between groups, as you know. Show extends the dialogue, and you're always welcome here to share information on the Aetherius Society. And we have the Olympian Embassy, and we give out the Aetherius Society flyer along with the flyers of other cosmic groups. And we're going to have a spin-off show very soon called The Pride of Olympus, which is the name of our Merkaba, or our sun chariot, it was known as in antiquity. And there, too, we're going to extend the dialogue to an even greater level and focus on cooperating with other groups to help everyone collectively, regardless of which path they've chosen to follow, to open their minds to new perspectives that might make this experience here a lot more valuable and make the lessons we're here to learn a lot clearer, because there is a lot of confusion, there is a lot of pain.
That sounds fantastic. That's very excellent.
And I really appreciate having you on here, because you are a very, very clear speaker, and you're able to explain things very simply and comprehensively. And that, my friend, is a great talent that it probably took you several lifetimes to develop.
I appreciate that, Hercules, and I'm very glad to be a part of your show. I think it's great what you're doing, and I know you've helped out in helping us spread the word and spread our flyers, and it's a beautiful line of work, and anything I can do to encourage and help you, I'm more than happy, whatever way I can.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. We still have a couple of minutes, so I want to touch on the topic that I was going to invite you to speak about next time. We can give a little teaser now. Sacred Mountains. The Aetherius Society is one of the few cosmic groups that focuses on the power of mountains. And the power of mountains was known in antiquity. Mount Olympus, it's the axis mundi of the entire Olympian universe. Can you share a little bit about the power in mountains and how the Aetherius Society taps into that?
Absolutely. Just a couple minutes. Mountains throughout history have been held, sacred to all cultures and ancient cultures, indigenous cultures. There is a power to them, an innate natural power to them that tends to invoke spiritual states and higher states of consciousness and amplify, people's spiritual activities. But in the Aetherius Society and in the work of Dr. King in his lifetime, specifically 1958 to 1961, he served as a channel for a charge of energy to be sent through him into specifically 18 holy mountains around the world that we refer to as the New Age Holy Mountains. And this charge, it was the initial charge, but the charging of these mountains created these radionic batteries, in the body of the Mother Earth that contained a cosmic energy which had a unique quality. And this is what kind of differed the mountains from many of the other mountains through history and throughout the world, is that it didn't require a high level of development to tap into the energies and work with them. It was designed so that anybody of any belief or no belief, if they were to climb the mountain and engage in a selfless act of service, whether it's a prayer or a mantra or a positive thought or an act of healing, to tap into these energies and actually invoke them and send them out to the world. So those mountains were created to act as spiritual power batteries for the human race to come to tap in and send out to the world. And these are the holy mountains that we refer to in the Aetherius Society.
Wow. And you, the Aetherius Society, plan activities on these mountains. Regularly.
We have one here local in Los Angeles, Mount Baldy, which is only about an hour or so away, just east of L.A. There were about, I think, eight, if I remember correctly, in the U.K. There's others in New Zealand, Australia, France, Switzerland, Scotland. These are kind of the main areas. There's also Kilimanjaro in Africa, which actually wasn't charged through Dr. King, but another ascended master. And the Aetherius Society holds regular pilgrimages, you know, mainly during the summer seasons, to some of these mountains. Obviously, we can't attend all of them, to what we call a pilgrimage. You know, we go as a group, we engage collectively in prayer, in mantras, to tap into and send out these energies. And actually, if I could mention, we have one coming up on August 20th, and it's our annual Interfaith World Peace Pilgrimage, where we invite various groups from different organizations, different religions and congregations to come together and to share their tradition, their rituals, their prayers for world peace, where everybody can take part and join in. And that's August 20th on Mount Baldy.
That is awesome. One day I hope that we too can come there and share in this interfaith effort. I'm really into interfaith through my activities. So that sounds like a very appealing way of sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How can folks get in contact with you, Oscar, and learn more about the Aetherius Society?
Our website, aetherius.org, that's spelled Aetherius. .org. You can look me up under the American headquarters. We have our email and all our contact information there. That's where I'm located, at the American headquarters. And there's lots of links to our YouTube channel, to our blog sites, and also if people are interested in the World Peace Pilgrimage, for those who are in the Southern California area, it's worldpeacepilgrimage.com for more details on that.
And I've explored your sites on occasion, and there's always something really exciting to learn there. So I heartily recommend visiting your site.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Well, thank you very much, Oscar, for being on. And I look forward to having you on again. And next time we'll talk more about the Holy Mountains and the interfaith effort.
That sounds great, Hercules. I'm looking forward to it, as usual.
I wish you well. Take good care, my friend.
Likewise. God bless and blessings.
Blessing to you as well. That was a great show, and I think this has become our new prequel to the Pride of Olympus radio show. So we're going to have a second prequel next week.
A prequel.
So this is a prequel to a prequel, and it's awesome. There was a lot of really great information contained in here that is going to form the basis of our new journey. So I'm really glad that Oscar came on today and shared his knowledge, his wisdom, and his perspectives with us. What's new with us, Athena?
For more information on Hercules and Athena, you can visit our website at www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, you can find us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, epic special events, and appearances.
There are no CERN updates for today, so we're going to skip that part. And starting in September, we're reformatting the show to be a bit more focused. The Pride of Olympus is going to move certain topics that we've been discussing here and focus on them more effectively elsewhere. And here we're really going to get into the mythic and our modern reality. So I'm really excited about those changes. So I would like to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and I hope you join us again next week.
And I hope everyone had a joyous Lunasal or Lammas today.
And I mispronounced that, but that's okay. I'm Greek. I'm allowed to mispronounce things. And
hey, I'm a Celt, and I mispronounce them too.
Zena, our warrior princess Chihuahua, says good night as well. To everybody, joyous journeys. We will, I guess, connect again next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.